My first scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John. You know, and when I was going over this, I was thinking, John chapter 21, we need the whole chapter, guys. I hate to tell you that, I know. But the whole chapter of John 21 is the same day. It's all one day. And so we need to kind of start at the beginning and go by how the disciples, what they were thinking. And this is after the resurrection. And they'd already ran it. They've already seen Jesus twice. He'd already appeared to him twice. But this will be the third time that he appears to him. But I want to read this chapter just so we kind of get an idea how the disciples got sidetracked for a bit, even after the resurrection. So John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, We'll also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast thy net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Then feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Because verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This spoke he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning around, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Which is John. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, that which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. The word of God for the children of God. And all of God's children said, Amen. Now I find this very, very interesting because here are the disciples, you know, and this is Jesus already rose from the dead, but they want to go back to fishing. And Peter's like, you know, let's go fishing, guys, you know, and kind of just blow off what we just seen, and let's just go fishing. But Jesus had a different plan for them. And so they're out there fishing all night, you know, and so they didn't catch nothing. And then they see Jesus, and he tells them, cast your net on the other side. So what this is telling me, that sometimes in our lives, it's happened to disciples. We can get so caught up with surviving and our lives that we get sidetracked of what God has actually called us to do. But if the disciples would have just leaned on Jesus, and he showed them right there that he will provide everything we need as we're stepping out in faith, following Jesus. Now, he said this to Peter, do you love me? He said it to him three times because, you know, Peter denied him three times, you know. But Jesus was wondering, do you love me more than this stuff, this food, your material things that you work so hard for? Do you love me more than that? Then feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Be about my business, and I will take care of you. That's what I get out of this scripture. Jesus is telling his disciples, if you step out in faith and be about my business, I will supply all of your needs. And the Bible says that. He will supply all of our needs according to Christ Jesus in glory. I mean, that's just what God does. If we depend on him, he will take care of us. And I'm seeing that in my life. And I know you all have too, because you've trusted in Jesus. He's been taking care of you all these years. He provides your home, your bills. He gives you a job to take care of everything. You've lacked nothing. And so that's what he was pointing out to the disciples. Step out in this faith and follow Jesus. Now, and then Peter's like, well, what about this guy? And Jesus flat out told him right up there, don't worry about him. You got your own plate. You worry about you. And I know that happens a lot in our lives. You know, we get so caught up with what other people, you know, are they following Jesus right? Or what? And Jesus, like, you don't worry about them. You keep your focus on me. You follow me, and I will deal with each person in their own way. Each one of us have a relationship with God, but it's different than the next person. Not everyone's got the same relationship. I mean, we all got the same love relationship, but each person's different. So God deals with each person differently. Each person comes into this relationship having different kind of baggage, different kind of issues in their life that they grew up with and stuff, where God will deliver us from each one of those, but in our own way. Where we don't judge other people in their walk with God. Well, if they were really following Jesus, they wouldn't be doing this. Well, God's still working on them. And so he's telling us, quit worrying about your brothers. Love them in the way, right where they're at. And follow me. That's what it comes down to. If you love me, feed my sheep and follow me. If you love me. I do love God, and I know you guys do too. And God has put sheep in every one of our lives, people that really don't know that love of God, where God wants us to feed him, feed that person or that woman or that child with his word of love and compassion, knowing that, you might be messed up, you might be broken right where you're at, but God still loves you. And he still wants to pick you up and show you a better way of life, of hope. Now, see, like in the world that right now, we can see all hell breaking loose everywhere. But we can still have a peace in our heart, knowing that this is all going just the way Jesus said it was going to happen. That it don't catch us off guard. And so we can still have that peace. And we have that hope and joy in our hearts. You know, because a lot of people are saying the end of the world's coming. It's the end of the world. But it's not. It's not the end of the world. In fact, the Bible scripture says that Jesus is going to return and set up his kingdom. And if he didn't, then no flesh would survive. That's what the scripture says. So we're going to have another 1,000 years on this earth before the new heaven and earth, because that comes after the 1,000-year reign. If you know your Bible, you read in Revelation, it talks about the new heaven and earth, which comes after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. And so we don't have to worry about the world ending. We need to focus on people's lives ending without Jesus. Because people are dying every day, and their world is ending right then. And I think about it, you know, and did they know Jesus? Have they ever heard of Jesus? Did anybody tell them the truth about Jesus? Or did people beat them over the head with the Bible so they turned away from God instead of running to Him? And religion has a way of doing that. And I've heard it. It's turned me away. You know, if that's the way God is, I don't want no part of it. You know, being judgmental and telling people how bad they are and how worthless they are because they have a certain issue in their life or a certain addiction, and, you know, and God wants to deal with that Himself. We, as God's children, love them. We love the person the same way we love God, the same way we love Jesus. Love these hurting, broken people that God has put in our path. It's what He's called us to do as His children. He said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. And so we got to walk in that love, and that only comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go to Acts chapter 3, and we'll see how the disciples reacted after they got filled with the Holy Spirit. This is Peter, the same one that said, hey, let's go fishing. You know, I ain't worried about the ministry. Let's step out. Let's go fishing, catch some fish, and worry about our financial gain and taking care of our families instead of letting God take care of all that and stepping out in His work. Verses is Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. Now, Peter and John were walking to the temple, and they seen a guy there that was begging. And they told him, silver and gold have we none, but what we have, and I give to thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Okay, that's in verse 6. Now I'm going to go to verse 12. And when Peter saw, all the people were amazed at it, you know. They're like, wow, this guy, we know he was lame. He's been here begging all these years, and now all of a sudden he's walking and leaping and running and praising God. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people and said, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? Now, right there. By our own power or our own holiness we had made this man walk. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I will not through ignorance you did it. I know through ignorance you did that to Jesus, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the Lord, from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. See, right there it is. God is going to restore everything, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things. That means God's going to recreate all things. But Jesus is going to set up his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. And it's going to be God's kingdom on earth. What we've been praying in the Lord's Prayer, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's the way it's going to be. But the restitution of all things is to life, our lives. We will be made whole. We will have our new bodies. And the dead will rise and be a part of that 1,000-year reign. And I have so many scriptures that I'm not going to get to today, but it talks about this in Corinthians, and all the books of the New Testament talk about the future that's going to be when Jesus returns. But you see how bold Peter is, how bold he got after Jesus spoke with him. But this is after also the Pentecost, where they got filled with the Holy Spirit. So we got that Holy Spirit in us. He's the one that gives us the boldness. He's the one that gives us the words to speak to the hurting people that we come in contact with. Because sometimes we don't know how. We see people struggling with something and we don't know the right words to bring comfort. Sometimes just your presence there saying, God loves you, God, I'll pray for you, and then pray with them right then and there. Let people know that God cares about their brokenness, and He's not the one afflicting them. He's not the one that is putting that affliction on them. It's just part of this world that we live in, part of this sin, and there's an enemy out there trying to destroy us. And he would love to destroy all people before they come to the knowledge of Jesus. That's what his goal is. That's why he's attacking Israel so much right now through all those enemies over there. Because he knows that Jerusalem and Israel has to be there for Jesus to return. It's in the Scriptures. In fact, I'm going to go to the book of Amos. This is the last few verses in the book of Amos in chapter, get my glasses on, chapter 9, verses 14. Amos, chapter 9, verse 14. And this is talking about these last days we live in. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. That's happening right now. And I will plant them upon their own land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. And see, so Israel's trying to, Satan's trying to destroy that. He's trying to make God look like a liar like he always did. It's been the same trick he started from in the garden. Has God really said? But God promised that Jesus would return to Israel on the Mount of Olives. So Israel has to be there as a nation. But he also said they would be scattered. Jesus said that. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 21 and Matthew 24, that the fig tree, I preached on it, and we know about it, but that is the generation that will see all these things fulfilled. And so the enemy's trying to stop it. That's what he's doing. He's trying to stop God's plan. He's trying to stop God's plan in your life. He's trying to stop God's plan for the unsaved, the people that don't know Jesus. And if he can get us discouraged and deceived and keep us chasing after things of the world instead of being about the Father's business, like Jesus told Peter, do you love me more than this stuff? Do you love me more than that? And Peter's like, Lord, you know I do. He said, well, then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. He told him three times. And don't worry about what God's called your neighbor to do. Love them where they're at. But worry about what God's called you to do. What's your mission? Only you know. It's between you and Jesus. But I got a good idea what it is. Feed his sheep. And some days, we don't feel like feeding sheep. Some days, I'm just talking for myself. Some days, I feel like crawling underneath a rock and hiding from the world. Because the enemy just casts all those cares of the world on me where I start worrying about stuff that I should not even be stressing on. Past things. Future things that hadn't even happened yet. That's when you need to get back to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm being distracted by the enemy. He's trying to get me over here doing things that I have no business doing when I need to be walking the straight and narrow to look for the hurting and the lost. The brokenness that we come across. You know, some people, when they get sick or something, you know, you remember Job. When he was going through, the devil was attacking him and attacking him and attacking him. And his friends, you know, they're like, boy, you must have really done something bad for God to be punishing you like this. What'd you do? But see, that is just like the enemy to do that to you. Try to make it sound like it's your fault that bad things happen to you. No, it's not. We live in a sinful, a fallen world. And Jesus said everybody has to deal with it. Everybody has to go through this stuff. Nobody is exempt from the sins of the world and from the fallenness of the world, the brokenness of this world. But we just got to focus on Jesus. Keep our hearts and minds open to what God is calling you to do. And not worry about what God has called someone else to do. Because that's their calling. That's their walk. And so you see how before the Pentecost, before the Spirit was poured out on the disciples, how they were still being about their own business. Even after they seen Jesus a couple of times. You know, but they wasn't sent on their mission yet. And so they were, you know, taking care of their families like God expect us to do. But when you walk out in the Lord, step out in God, and I'm finding this to be true, He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He provides for needs that we have no idea how we're going to take care of this, and God all of a sudden takes care of it for you because you're trusting in Him and you're leaning on Him. And sometimes we don't even lean on Him, and He still takes care of us. Sometimes we can get ourselves in situations where we should have died. But God gave His angels charge over us and protected us in those ways. And so that's why I wanted to read that whole chapter, just so we'd know that it happens, even to the disciples, where we get sidetracked about doing our own thing. And sometimes our own thing will combine with God's thing, because God will put people in those situations where He wants us to be a light in their darkness. And the most frustrating part of it is, though, when people won't believe you. So what do you do then? What did Jesus say to do with the disciples when they reject you? Shake the dust off your feet and go on. Because there's someone else who needs you. Someone else is ready to receive this hope and this love that only comes from God. And we have to be His ambassadors, His hands and feet in this world that we live in, to show this love to people. The same love that Jesus shows to each one of us in our brokenness and in our failures. You know, and sometimes people think that because you're a Christian, you don't make mistakes. You don't fall short. But we do. It's all part of being in life. It's part of life. Because you look at the disciples in the book of Acts and through the whole Bible, there's conflict between people. It happens. But if we keep our focus on Jesus, even the Apostle Paul, he had conflicts with some of the other disciples. You know, they would have conflicts. Because that's part of human. That's part of being human and living in a sin-fallen world. We do have conflicts. But that's when we got to look to Jesus, love Him, and walk in His light. We got one more scripture I want to go through. John 15. And this is how we do this. John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be My disciples. As the Father hath loved Me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in My love. If you keep My commandments, you shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. And these things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is My commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. But I like that verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So when we abide in Jesus, and His words abide in us, There's that joy, like I said, that peace that we can have no matter what's going on in our lives. We can still have that peace and knowing that God is with us. Jesus has promised to never leave us or forsake us. And as we look to Him and follow Him, follow Jesus. Don't follow a church. Don't follow a denomination. Don't follow some preacher. Follow Jesus. And get in His Word. Abide in His Word. And let His Word abide in you. And that way, when someone throws something at you, you will know whether it's from God or if it's from flesh. And there's a lot of that going on in the world nowadays. A lot of so-called preachers preaching things that's not in the Bible. Things that they've made up. And they say, the Lord said this and the Lord said that. And you look in there and it's like, where is that? So that's why we got to abide in Him ourselves. And let His Word abide in us. And that Holy Spirit that He's given us through the sacrifice that He made for us. That gift of God in us. That we may be a light for in our world. And plus it strengthens us and helps us to get through our darkness. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank You for Your love, Lord. We thank You that we are Your sheep. And You said, Lord, in Your Word that Your sheep hear Your voice and we'll follow You. And we won't follow no stranger, but we'll follow You, Lord. Lord, give us the ears tuned in to Your voice as Your sheep. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may abide in You and You in us and that we may continue in that permanent state all the days of our lives and point other people to the God of healing, the God of love and mercy and grace. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy name for Your glory to be revealed in us and through us to the world around us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.